You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Camera and the Mac Man, Jody Mack, in for John today. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Friday morning. Well, the Phils make a couple more moves yesterday, but for many of us, not the moves we were hoping for. Harrison Bader, the bigger of the two, but is it big enough? Well, October will prove that out one way or the other, but I'll say on this end, it certainly feels underwhelming. We'll talk a lot about that move, the outfield configuration. We'll get into the Eagles a lot. They have a preseason game, believe it or not, coming up in 6 days. They're getting close to that. We had football last night with the Hall of Fame game. Eric Allen goes into the Hall of Fame this weekend. We'll certainly celebrate that. We'll do it all with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494 as we broadcast from our home base every Friday morning. The great Borgatti. Mac, speaking of great, the Mac Man. Jody Mack, how are you, pal?
That's very nice.
It is very nice.
It's only got to go downhill from there,
correct. correct. So that's kind of like the Phillies trade deadline. Starts out great, and then, wow.
Wow. Why, you're the best in the business, Jeff.
Oh, I am, Jody.
Holy mackerel.
You like this, Jody?
Absolutely.
Why?
Why not?
I'll tell you why not. Marsh, Rojas, Kepler, Bader.
Who was the outstanding outfielder, the major upgrade bat who got traded over the last unbelievably active last 48 hours?
All right, Jody, let me address that
Suarez,
right out of the gate.
Eugenio Suarez.
Outfielder.
It doesn't matter.
So, Jody, I got a lot to say on yesterday, but let me start with this. And, again, everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494, because to me it does feel like a tale of 2 days. You know, Wednesday, we're really excited with the addition, obviously, in the bullpen. And then yesterday, a lot of people deflate it. Your choice, you be what you want to be. I'm just telling you how I am. Excited about Wednesday, disappointed yesterday. Jody, here's my main point about the outfield situation. It's really not as much a failure yesterday, although it is, as it is as an offseason failure. I mean, I said, and probably a couple hundred thousand of us have said here on WIP, maybe millions. I mean, not everyone calls in. We knew in November and December that Marsh and Rojas weren't good enough. We knew that. We knew that Marsh is a fourth outfielder. They play him mostly as a third outfielder. We knew that Rojas is really not a Major League Baseball player. We knew that. We knew that. Dave Dombrowski went with them. I'm not going to tell you I knew Max Kepler inside and out. I didn't. I don't watch the American League day by day. But I know this. There's a lot of people that said he's just another guy. He's this year's Whit Merrifield, which you know what he's been? This year's Whit Merrifield.
Yeah.
So my disappointment with the outfield situation, while we can talk about yesterday and will to a large extent, I think Dombrowski blew it 8 months ago.
That's very fair.
They did not do enough
to upgrade the outfield during the offseason.
And that's why
you have to adjust.
Yes.
But you have to look at it in a vacuum. If there was a really good right-handed hitting bat, preferably in center field, better than Harrison Bader, who changed teams and went to another team, and we go, oh, my God, how did the Phillies not pay the price to get that guy? Then you could come down harsh on Dombrowski. I'm okay with your saying he didn't do enough off what he didn't do enough, that the bigger problem was off-season rather than in-season. I'm just saying, for the guys that moved,
Harrison Bader was as good a right-handed hitting outfielder as anybody who went in the last 2 days.
If you want to say that, say it, but I'm saying more. I'm saying this. I got a pitching staff, and I got a fan base that is ready to win the frickin' World Series, and I got an outfield again that's a lot of slop, and that's really aggravating. That's how I feel. Good morning to you, by the way. You tell me how you feel, 215-592-9494. Here's how I'd frame it in 08 terms, Jody. In 08 terms. You know who I liked in 08? Eric Bruntlett. You know why I liked him? Because he was a bench player. What the Phillies have given us the last couple of Octobers and are going to give us again in October, it's like starting two Eric Bruntletts and trying to win the World Series. The beauty of Eric Bruntlett was he was the guy that just came off the bench. He's like your 23rd or 24th guy. And it's like I've got 23rd, 24th. Rojas is a 30th guy. Rojas doesn't belong in Major League Baseball. Now, look, we'll find out ultimately which of these guys makes it to October. Do all four of them make it? Obviously, Bader's going to be an October player. I think it's pretty clear Marsh is going to be an October player. The question is whether Kepler and Rojas make
and
it
Crawford,
to October.
And Crawford, too.
Right, James. I mean, right. So, you know, of the guys that we've seen, we'll see who makes it. I tend to think all four of them won't make it there. But I just know this, man. I was really, really disappointed yesterday. But I do think the greater sin, if I can use that word, goes back to off-season decision-making and believing in guys that we knew they shouldn't believe in. So if I'm Bryce and I'm Schwarber and all that, I'm thrilled to get the closer, but I'm frustrated with the, you know, by the way, this does put more focus back on, and maybe it's inevitable that this was going to be the case, but the second-tier Phillies players that are going to have to, and look, they're being paid well to be quality second-tier players, but the second-tier players to prop up, prop up's not the right word, to support Bryce and Schwarber, who are obviously their two main guys, but this puts a big October bullseye on Castellanos, JT, Bohm, and Stott. Stott's not paid like the rest of those guys, but he's supposed to be really good, or at least very good, you know, pretty solid. And I don't think that group is really that good. So when I add the whole thing up, I just have a big old case of aggravation from yesterday. Now, look, I'll say on the whole trade deadline thing, of which I'm including David Robertson as a signing from about 2 weeks ago, I actually think the Phillies did more. Dombrowski did more than I expected. I mean, the reality is that, getting one of the top closers in baseball and getting one of the better setup men in baseball, and I think Robertson still can be. I mean, maybe not, you know, not top 10, but like he had a 3 ERA last year. He can be good. It's more than I expected. But given what they did on Wednesday, it's like, come on, guys. One more push. Seltzer, what say you?
Yeah, so I'm right there, like kind of in the middle of you two. I feel like they missed a massive opportunity. That is my big takeaway from yesterday. It felt like after getting Duran, like they were right there. They were one bad away, a real bad away from this city like being red. I think we all would have just been over the moon and fully in on this Phillies team. And now they're going to have to prove it again in October. Like, they have to prove it in October anyway. But I do think that there's going to be less excitement than there should be about this team.
And, James, let me add this, because we hear this narrative from time to time during and after Octobers. And I've never agreed with it the way some people frame it. They say, well, if the Phillies lose because of, like, Marsh and Rojas, the shame on you for thinking that, because it's really about the Bryce Harpers and the Schwarbers and the Bones and the Cassius.
Yeah,
let me just do some simple math for everybody. The 9-hole hitter hits almost the same amount of times as the 4-hole hitter. That's a fact.
Well, to that point, it does put a lot of pressure on those top three guys.
Of course it does.
I mean, they're getting paid a lot. Can do that and all that. But I to Jody's point, the Phillies are a better team today than they were yesterday. Even the Harrison Bader move, like, he's a really nice addition as an outfielder. I mean, he's a Gold Glove caliber Gold Glove winning center fielder.
Yeah, but you know what he is, James? He's a .243 lifetime hitter.
But I know, but he's a .750 OPS right-handed bat. Like, he's better than what they have.
Well,
he makes them better. But I agree with you. Like, they had a chance to really supercharge this thing, to really make them, you know, the one of the main favorites to win. And they still are, but to really put themselves right there, and they didn't, and it's disappointing. Here's my question for you, though. Is it the Duran move that kind of got you back? Because you came into this deadline saying, don't trade away the top prospects. Right. I don't want to go crazy. And they didn't. Like, on the flip side, Andrew Painter's still here. Aiden Miller's still here. Justin Crawford, yeah. Rune Escobar. Like, they kept four out of their top five 100 prospects.
No, James, absolutely. But if you notice, I did a very quick pivot because it's how I truly feel, that this was a November through February failure.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
that's...
come on.
I agree with you.
The
idiot
idiot on Mars who barely knows baseball knew that Marsh and Rojas weren't the answer. And then you're going to give me Kepler, which is this year's Whit Merrifield, and a Matt Vierling, and a freaking... who was the guy they got last year, Austin Hayes? I mean, I know Austin Hayes has been better this year, and he's not sick, but, like, come on. Really? 215-592-9494. Devin, where do you land on this?
So I ended yesterday very disappointed because I just kept hearing and seeing rumors that, you know, the Phillies were still, and I do believe that they were in on Kwan up until the end.
I'm sure they were trying, but you know what? Like,
well, but you just said you're happy they didn't trade Painter, and I think that is truly what it came down to. Mm-hmm. I think that the price was just too high for an outfield bat like you're describing that would... I mean, I think Harrison Bader is a good pickup. He's having his best offensive year. He already has the best OPS batting average out of any of the current outfielders on the Phillies. I know the bar is on the floor, but it's still something.
No, it is something, but my thing is Dave Dombrowski should have known in January that it was going to be hard to get a quality outfielder on July 31st.
Yes.
I could have told him that.
But Dave Dombrowski, and he also knows, you know, he has guys with $100 million paychecks like Bryce Harper, like Kyle Schwarber, like Trey Turner, who need to step up. And he said that. He said that the last time he spoke to media at Citizens Bank Park, he said, like, some of this is going to have to come from within.
It
it's
is.
Gonna
but
have
that's
to come
what they
from
say. But here's
the
thing I'll say. You know?
Guys, I know, and it's frustrating. But we all remember what happened last postseason.
Guys, here's where I'm at with Rojas. And maybe he won't be on the team in October.
I don't think he will be, for what it's worth.
I don't either. But here's where I'm at on him. In my lifetime, I can't remember a player that bad that has been leaned on multiple years to try to win a title. The last player, and this player was better, okay, better, really better, not great, really annoying, was Todd Pinkston.
Pinky.
Like, I'm leaning on Todd Pinkston, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Well,
you know, like that, Rojas is worse.
Let me throw another angle into this, too, that bothered me about the way they approached this deadline. It felt like they went in, they're like, all right, we're going to get an outfielder. Like, why not go Eugenio Suarez? Harper said he would move. Like, Eugenio Suarez is a power right-handed bat. He gets right in the middle of the line. Why not trade for Ryan O'Hearn? I know he's a first baseman. Harper said he would move. Like, go get a better hitter. Like, it felt like they went into this with this kind of myopic view of, let's get the best outfielder we can get because that's our need. Instead of being creative and saying, let's get the best bat we can because that's what we desperately need, and then we'll figure it out from there.
So the Phillies get Harrison Bader yesterday. He's having one of the better seasons of his career. Still not a great year. He's hitting .258. Got a .339 on-base percentage, .439 slugging percentage. I think it's likely, very likely, that he becomes the best of that group in the center-left field combination. Now, Brandon Marsh, to his credit, has played well lately. You can't dismiss the possibility that one of those guys could play better than him. But with Bader's defense and his offense, which isn't great, but it probably makes him the best out there, meaning second-best outfielder behind only Castellanos, both offensively and defensively combined. He's a much better defensive outfielder than Casty, but you get my point. But let's also
and
not
has
lose...
played in big.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Games and had some big moments, right. And he does seem to have an edge to him too, which I feel like this team could use.
Well, I can use that, but here's what they also could have used: a player,
yeah, a real hitter.
When you've played for close to 10 years, to have a better than a .243 career batting.
I don't disagree, man.
And a .309. I mean, a .309 on base percentage is horrendous.
Look, he's better than what they have,
career.
And that is not great. No, I'm right there good. With you, man. I'm right.
So
there.
Let's listen to something Dombrowski said. He said an awful lot yesterday, including. You know, like, how often is Bader going to play? I mean, you know, where does he fit in, and how is this thing going to work out? You got a lot of options out there for center and left combined right now. Let's listen to something Dombrowski said yesterday.
Dave, how do you see your outfield configuration now? Will Bader be an everyday guy for you?
Well, good question. Start right off. I mean, he's going to play a lot. The lineup will be Topper's decision, of course. We're happy to get him. He's played well this year offensively and defensively. He's hit the ball with some pop. We think he helps us. I'm not sure which way he's going to go on a regular basis, if he's going to play every single day or not, but that'll be when you'll have to let Topper. We're just very happy to have him. Think that he's a good addition for us from both perspectives, offensively and defensively.
Here's the way I'll sum it up. It is amazing that they seem to have this propensity to just get these guys in center and left. I mean, if you're really tracking, I went back to Vierling at 22. I mean, Vierling back then, Marsh, Rojas, Whit Merrifield, Austin Hayes, Kepler, and now this guy. I mean, how many Todd Pinkstons can you have?
Pinkston might be better than these guys.
Pinkston was better
more like
than
James Thrashes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're like Torrance Smalls.
Yeah, Charles Johnson's.
Yeah, they're the group. They're the group before Pinkston.
They are. Honestly, they are. That's what they are. That's a better analogy.
All right. 215-592-9494. I actually was around Charles Johnson recently, and he seemed like a super nice guy. I didn't talk to him, but I could just tell
the
way
everyone.
Look,
it wasn't his fault, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Willie Green. It's like
exactly.
It's having seven straight
exactly.
Willie Greens.
Exactly.
At some point, you got to get someone better than Willie Green. I mean, we can give you a million of these examples in Philly sports, and it's often not the player's fault. It's the management's fault for keep picking those players. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Where do you stand on what they did and what they didn't do? From Borgata today, 215-592-9494, Steve in Egg Harbor. Steve, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you can say we are a better team right now than we were, but I had three things that would make us a much better team, I think, and they haven't because they haven't tried anything, you know, with the bottom of the lineup. You bring the kid up from AAA, you put him in center field, and you give him a shot. The guy, as far as I've heard, has improved in every single, you know, place that he's been, single A, double A, triple A. You put either Bader or March in left field, 250 hitters are better than a 210 hitter in Kepler. And I'm sorry, but Sosa should be starting. Give this guy his shot. Since he's been with the Phillies for 4 years, he's got like a .260 batting average as a part-time player. And you know, Joe, as a baseball player, or you say you're a baseball player, the more you play, the more you play, the more you see, the better you are.
So not always. Some guys get worse with more opportunities. I think Sosa's an example of that.
You saw this guy at the beginning of the year when he got to play every day. For 2 weeks before they bought somebody out, before the injury started coming back, and then he put him on the bench again, and then he settled in.
Look, Steve, I think you're going to get your wish on Sosa, because Stott probably isn't going to climb out of the hole. My guess is in October, Sosa will bat against left-handed pitchers. But also know this, Steve: left-handed pitchers only start, I don't know, 30% of baseball games. So you're still going to get a heavy dose of Stott.
Yeah, but you got to give this guy a shot, man. This guy deserves a shot, man. I mean, this is the problem with the Phillies. They stick with the same thing.
Yeah, but let me just tell you, Steve, breaking news to you and maybe others, Sosa's not that good. Like, I'm a Sosa fan. I think everybody likes Sosa. Steve, he's not that good.
Is he better
he's
than
like
Stott?
Eric Bruntlett. Like, you he brought is up like Eric Bruntlett before. It's Stott. A perfect comp.
Yeah.
Is he better than Stott?
He may be playing better than Stott.
260 over 4 years is a good sample size, particularly for a part-time player.
He might be better than Stott.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem.
He could be a starting player on many baseball
on
teams.
On bad teams.
On many, yeah.
Bad.
I love Sosa. I think he's great. And he's said that before. He said, like, not in a mean way or a disgruntled way, but I know that I can be a starting player. You know,
he's a poor man, Cesar Hernandez. Yeah, he plays on a bad team. He plays a lot on a bad team.
Here's where I'm going to come down on Sosa.
You've never given him a shot.
Well, yeah, they have. When there's been 2 weeks of injuries and he's gotten a chance to play against right-handed pitching. We know he can hit left-handed. But against right-handed pitching, he's had a couple of opportunities over the last 2 years when either they got down on Stott or Stott got hurt. And he just didn't grab it by the throat, job by the throat, and hit right-handed pitching. He hasn't proved that he can hit over 250 against right-handed continuously.
He has a 665 career OPS against right-handed pitching.
There you go. All right. Thank you, James.
665.
Horrendous. And, James, you know what that means more than most. But what that means is that's not good.
It's like, very you know bad. He's a 302 on base percentage. Like, he's almost below 300 as an on base guy against right. For comparison's sake, to Jody's point, 665 OPS against right handed pitching, a 796 career OPS against left handed pitching.
There you go.
He's a guy. He's a platoon player.
Yeah,
exactly what he is.
And that's why they play him against lefties and not against righties. By the way, when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Phillies game tonight. Phillies and Tigers, big weekend series, alumni weekend. As the Phillies will honor Ed Wade and Jimmy Rollins. First pitch tonight at Citizens Bank Park, 6:45. All sorts of festivities, obviously all 3 days. It's all part, tonight is, of the Toyota Wall of Fame night. For tickets, you can visit Phillies.com. I think it's fair to say the trade deadline left many scratching their head. Why go so all in on Wednesday and so not all in on Thursday? It's weird. Again, half measures, the phrase that comes to mind or word that comes to half measures. Is that a word or hyphenated word? What is that? Is that two words? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I think it's two words.
Me, hyphenate, I'm not sure.
I don't either. Here's the question. In honor or dishonor of the Phillies' half measure, which I think leaves many scratching their head, we'll ask you today with these Phillies tickets on the line for tonight's game, what has left you scratching your head? What leaves people scratching their head, kind of confused, bewildered, trying to figure out, like, wait, hold on, why that? What just happened? Like, I get that part, but I don't get that part. What left people scratching their head? Best answer, whoever provides it, 215-592-9494. You're headed to the Phillies game tonight. It should be a great weekend with the Phillies. They're in a battle with the Mets for first place, and the Tigers, certainly one of the better teams in baseball. It should be entertaining the next 3 nights, next 3 days. Jody Mack in for Richie today. Jody Mack, what left people scratching their heads?
People or me?
Whatever you want.
Okay. I'm going to personalize this and make it me.
Sure.
And it's a shortcoming of mine, I think, but I'm not sure. You guys are going to tell me. Streaming has been part of our life for 5 years, 6 years.
Oh, way more than that.
10 years.
Yeah, probably like 15, yeah.
She already learned about streaming when I did during the pandemic.
Exactly.
During the pandemic.
Exactly.
The old heads like the Mac Man and me are like, oh, I guess I got a lot of time on my hands.
Yes. And 5, 10 years, whatever the number is, you know better than me, James. Why have they not gotten it up with modern technology to speed where you can just go back and forth between a cable channel and a streaming channel and not have to wait and not have to wait and not have to wait. When I'm watching sports and there are two or three games on, specifically Sundays, I want to be able to go from channel to channel to channel to channel. And if you got streaming in the mix, you're just waiting. It's 25 to 30 seconds before you get up to speed, and then you don't want to change back to the other game you're watching because you don't want to wait again.
Put another way, how do we land a man on the moon in 1969 and not figure this out in
2025?
Devin, what leaves people scratching their head?
To Jody's, I would say that's probably Cable's fault because they don't like streaming and they do that intentionally.
Oh, you think
they don't want them to? Yeah, what, exactly. And streaming is behind, and
yeah, Cable's not playing nice in the sandbox.
What leaves me scratching my head, and I think this every time I have to drive to and from, but mostly from Atlantic City back to Philadelphia, is we just go through these massive toll plazas with no lanes, no direction, and I'm sure there are some accidents, but no one gets in a car. Like, it's just mind-blowing to me. Like, it's truly a free-for-all.
So I've been in two.
Really? Mm-hmm. In a toll area?
The approach to the toll.
You have to be careful, though, right?
Both at the George Washington Bridge. Both when I was not the driver.
Well, GW Bridge, that's scary.
Yeah, GW Bridge.
But, like, it's a head-scratcher to me. Like, how has no one developed a system or plan for
this?
So
you think it's anarchy is what you're saying.
It's complete chaos.
All right. What leaves people scratching their head? Maybe the people is you. Maybe it's more than one. But 215-592-9494. Seltzer, give me a good one.
George Lucas is an absolute genius and maybe one of the most creative people who've ever lived, created this world inside his head and brought it to screen, did all this stuff, and yet this artistic genius decided to put Jar Jar Binks in Phantom Menace. I don't get it. It leaves me scratching my head. How did he make this movie, watch it, and say, yep, Jar Jar, we got it.
Look, a lot of big answers are out there, and that's a very good one. Some of these are going to be the kind that also leaves you really aggravated and in the moment, you know, maybe throwing something at the TV. But I'll give you one in the moment that was one of the more perplexing things I've ever seen in a game. Ever, ever, ever. It's whatever, February whatever, 2005. There's like 7 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. There's 6 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. There's 5 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. Why is in the moment, we found out later, Donovan was hyperventilating. In the moment, why is my offense moving so slow? I mean, they're actually advancing the ball down the field to their credit. That's good. But why are they taking 30 seconds in between every play? My team's down 10 in the Super Bowl. Freaking fourth quarter. What the hell?
Great answer, dude.
Thank you.
I was in Jacksonville. It was different than watching it on TV. I think more painful live because, yes, you could actually see them moving slowly. TV is a different reaction to it. It was bad on TV. It was worse live at the stadium.
Look, I don't know if I buy that. I'll just say, I don't know. I wasn't there. I just know this.
Maybe equal levels of worse can't be much worse.
It was a freaking disaster. It actually ended with a touchdown. But then they had to do an onside kick.
I know. It's so ridiculous.
All right. Well, that McClure news is pretty big for the division. He's been one of the better players in the division for a while. Generally on bad teams. Last year was really his first crack at a quality team. And he did good things. And he's a player I've always admired. I mean, even in their bad years. He was like that Ryan Kerrigan. You know, sometimes Washington stinks,
but
they have
better.
A player.
I think he's probably even better than Kerrigan. Kerrigan was really good for a while.
Maybe.
But, I mean, look, he's their second-best offensive player after Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, I think that's true. So, look, he wants out. I mean, a lot of times in a moment like this, a guy doesn't get out. You know, these things generally have a way to work out by the time you get closer to the start of the season. But he seems pretty dug in. And that is significant for the Eagles because, you know, that's the main competitor in the division. And we'll have to follow the bouncing ball of McLaurin in the month of August. But that is notable that he is now saying he wants out. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet celebrates 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. All right, Mac, man, tell me how. Because we do five questions with Jody Mack. Every time Jody's in here, five questions with the Mac man when John's not here, as we broadcast from Borgata today. Jody, the first of the five questions is our Twitter poll. And this goes for everyone, but I'm putting it right to you, Jody. How do you feel about the Phillies not trading for an outfielder better than Harrison Bader? Now, Seltzer, I'm going to predict that Mac man is going to try to find a way to come up with choice D. There's no choice D. All right? The thing about the polls is these are your choices. Your options are A, you feel disappointed. B, you feel aggravated, which is what I am, aggravated. And C is that you're happy with Bader.
Of course, I want another choice.
Of course
I'm between 2 and 3. I'm okay.
2 and 3 should be between A and C. Disappointed and happy. You can't be between aggravated and happy.
Well,
two extremes.
No, here's where I can be aggravated. Because I agree with you.
What's that?
The problem is not what transpired in the last 48 hours. The problem was last offseason.
Yeah, it was.
And that's legit.
Yeah,
that's
it is,
a legit complaint from a Philly fan evaluating the work
we
of
We all said
Dabrowski.
It, Jody. We all said it. We saw enough of Rojas and Marsh to know. We all know it. And by the way, for guys like me that don't know Kepler inside and out, it's Dombrowski's job to know Kepler inside and out. Kepler stinks.
Let me ask you.
That's on Dombrowski. He stinks.
Let me ask you a Kepler question.
Yeah.
Do you think after the Bader deal got done, which I don't even know what time it officially was announced. I was probably in transit down here to the shore, so yeah. I didn't catch the time.
Yep.
But there were hours left before the end of the trade.
Yeah, it was in 4 hours.
Yeah, 1 o'clock-ish right. range, yeah.
Do you think that Dombrowski offered Kepler to anyone for a bag of balls? Just to get him off the roster
maybe.
And save some money between now and the end of the season?
I think we hate Kepler more than the Phillies do.
Yeah, because Dombrowski defended him in his press conference last night. Like, he said he's been swinging the bat better, and I don't know.
You know, James, we should create a second question. See if you can put this one together and text it to me. I'd like to do a question that involves Kepler and, I guess, just Rojas, because Marsh is going to be on the postseason team. But which player... is it likely to be on the team or not be on the team for October between Kepler and
I would say which
Rojas?
Player is more likely to be on the team in the postseason?
All right. Why don't you put that poll together and send me that? Because you can make a case both ways. I mean, Kepler's had more career success. But I know, like, a lot of people when the news came in yesterday said, oh, well, Kepler's gone. And then other people are like, well, Marsh is gone. All right, we'll put that poll up as well because I'm intrigued to find out. I think we know the two guys that stick for sure of that grouping are Marsh and Bader. But anyway, you can weigh in. 215-592-9494. Dombrowski weighed in. More of what he said yesterday, including about the outfield market, which obviously was not particularly robust at the trade deadline. Notable that even Luis Roberts was not traded. Here's Dombrowski yesterday on what he was sensing with the outfield market.
Well, I think the outfield market compared to maybe the reliever market, the starting pitching market, I especially if you're talking right-hand hitting outfielders, it really wasn't very robust. There really weren't very many right-hand hitting outfielders out there. There were some more, some left-handed guys, but there weren't as many. Now, there's still things coming across. I just saw Yaz got traded to Kansas City from, of course, being a left-handed hitter. So there may be other things that come across also. But there really wasn't a long list of right-hand hitting outfielders that we thought could be helpful to us. So it was a very limited number of players in that regard. And, I mean, again, you can try to go get other guys, but sometimes the cost of acquisition was extremely high.
So let me ask this question because, James, you know I was on this prior to the deadline. And I'll say it now that the deadline is over. Why? Like, if this guy's not going to bat fourth and he's my big bopper to protect Harper and Schwarber, and he's not, why the fixation for a right-handed hitter?
Dude, and not just
what
that,
an difference outfielder.
Does it make?
Joe, he's going right. to hit. He's going to hit where all the right-handed hitters hit.
Joe,
he's going to hit in the JT, Bohm, Casty grouping. So what's the freaking
point?
Well,
that's what I was saying before. It's not just the right hand. It's a right-handed hitting outfielder. They went in with such a myopic view of what they needed instead of being creative. Like, get a Eugenio Suarez. Get Ryan O'Hearn. Get one of these guys who can freaking hit. And they'll come in. And if you put Schwarber in left field, fine. If you move Harper to left field, fine. Like, whatever you have to do, moving the roster around, be creative. Don't just go in and say, well, we're going to get the best right-handed outfield bat we can get. And that's it. You're shrinking your market.
So I'll tell you this, James. I don't believe they wanted to move Bryce to right. And I don't believe they wanted to move Schwarber to left.
I don't think they did either,
yeah,
but I think that's
a mistake. I don't think they had it on the table, is my guess.
Right, and I think that's a mistake. I think they went in with a myopic view of how to make the team better.
I agree with you, but Jody, even if they weren't going to do that, because I agree with James, they should have and should have been more open-minded, in my opinion. But even if they weren't going to do that, if this guy's not freaking four-hole hitter, then why couldn't it have been a left-handed hitter?
Because they're heavy left-handed to begin with.
No, they're not. They're not that heavy left-handed. This guy's going to hit where all the righties are. He's going to hit somewhere between 5 and 7, which is exactly where you're behind the four-hole hitter who's probably Bohm, and you're in the JT Casty range. You are. I mean, wait, you are.
Yes, he is. But
so what the hell?
They needed to improve the team.
You know what he's...
you wanted a Grand Slam home run. I get it. Everybody wanted a Grand Slam home run. They believed the Grand Slam home run wasn't out there to be had, so they took the RBI double in the gap.
I think they took a swinging check swing that maybe becomes a single. All right, 215-592-9494. You can react to it all. What do you make of it? I am aggravated. To answer that Twitter poll, I am aggravated. Patrick in Tabernacle. Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
Good,
how
Patrick.
Jody Mack, good to hear you as always, man. Joe, I definitely feel just, you know, you summed up kind of how I'm feeling with this whole thing. We had our shot in the offseason, and when they roll back this team, I was on that. It's just like, look, we're doing Groundhog Day again. And, you know, I guess they're banking on, like, us winning 2-1 games. And, you know, I just, you know, they're – it's just so frustrating.
Patrick, the best example is coming back in 03 with Thrash and Pinkston. It's the best example. You knew after 02 because you had Thrash and Pinkston in 01. You had Thrash and Pinkston in 02. And you knew after 02 that they weren't good enough. And again, it's not to say they couldn't have won a Super Bowl with that grouping. They could have. They could have beat the Bucs. They didn't. But you knew that was a weak part of the team. That's how I feel about center and left field. And I'm not saying they had to get T.O., the 04 T.O., but can they give me something better than this mishmash of just – it's like they got
mediocrity.
They've
at
got
best.
Guys between C minuses and Fs. Rojas is an F. The other guys are like C minuses. Sometimes they play like a C plus, but they're really C minuses. Come on.
If we had more of a stud defensively at shortstop, it would be kind of to me.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Different story, but you know, this guy we just pick up is, you know, he's going to help us with the glove in center field. But, you know, we add Duran, and, you know, it's just weird because I kind of, you know, forgot about Alvarado. You know, like if Alvarado's still here.
Well, he hurt them a lot.
He hurt them so much,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And what move would Dombrowski have made if Alvarado was here? So it's just
would,
like,
have gone for a lower bullpen arm and gone more in on a bat and traded them. Yeah, it's possible. It's absolutely possible.
Of course. That's what I was thinking, but it just that really jammed us up. But it's just like, you know what? It's time for Harper. Listen, Harper and like Castellanos and Schwartz, like you know, they got to step up in a big way because it all clearly lies on them offensively now. Like these bats.
Oh yeah, Trey Turner. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. It's because Rojas ain't leading in anything.
And look, they need guys like Castellanos and Bohm to step up now. I mean, they're going to have to have it, which is what I mean. The Castellanos thing is the most wild too, because and rightfully so, we look at him as this guy who's going to chase, who's going to swing at every first pitch. And he is also someone who has had playoff moments that only Reggie Jackson has had. Like, but yet he deserves to be looked at one way. It is pretty crazy how bad you have to be for a couple postseason and a half to completely forget about five home runs in three games and all that stuff.
Yeah. And he's an accomplished player. I mean, was it 1,000 RBIs he recently got to?
Yeah. No, he's had a really good career.
Yeah. But Patrick, to your point, they need him. He's got it. And the thing is, he's got to be able to do it, and they all do collectively for 4 weeks. And look, it doesn't mean every player has to carry every series. That's an impossibility. But you can't have the tail off so dramatic that this group of players has had, you know,
listen,
the last couple of years.
The improvements other teams have made. Look what the Mets did. I mean, look what the, like.
Well, yeah, they had it. They did.
San Diego, like the Padres just keep swinging for the fence with.
They also had no prospects left. Well, they did,
I mean,
a lot,
listen,
but they had no
prospects. For a reason, and that's
all right, Patrick.
They gave up the number three prospect in the sport, shortstop, for a closer. Now, maybe they turn him into a starter, but that was a wild trade.
Yeah, it's bold. Patrick, give me what's left people scratching their head.
Yo, Joe, what was the date Barry Switzer 4th and 1?
Well, it was 1995, and I want to say it was probably early December.
December,
because I think there was about four games to go.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that's a good one. Why'd he do it again? That's a good answer.
Yeah, that is an interesting answer. The irony is, while I think most teams won't do it now, more teams would do it now than did back then. Because it was the 29-yard line was what it was. So most teams would punt, obviously. But he did have the best offensive line of football, and he did have one of the two best running backs in football.
I think the bigger thing was the same play twice than it was going for it in the first place. You know what I mean?
Maybe. All right, back to that era. He wasn't on the team that year, but he had been for many years prior to that. Let's certainly give it up for Eric Allen today. So EA, John's buddy, John's teammate for the years with the Raiders, and I wish Eric Allen had played his whole career here, goes into the Hall of Fame this weekend. He did a lot with the Eagles, tons of interceptions, a lot more touchdowns than most cornerbacks typically get. There was 1 year he actually had 4 in 1 year. He had a touchdown to clinch that playoff game versus the Saints in 92. You know, one thing, I think the main thing you look for when you get a cornerback, the main thing is I want him to be able to lock down that side. Eric Allen was a lock down that side kind of guy. By the way, he was also in battles in the NFC East. He was dealing with Michael Irvin. He was dealing with Gary Clark and Art Monk. I mean, he was dealing with some really good players, really good players. And he was a great player, true Hall of Famer, left me scratching my head that it took so long for him to make it. Let's go back to what I think all of us, those of us that knew his career, would say was the greatest play of his career, and it was one of the great touchdowns of all time, a defensive wizardry of twists and turns and running and high-stepping at one point. Let's go back to that moment from 1994. He picks off Boomer Esiason, and somehow, some way, he finds a way to take it to the house.
Esiason's fake is a good one. His pass is not. It's picked off by Eric Allen. Allen still spinning, still finding room, and Allen comes out of the pack. Eric Allen still on his feet. Eric Allen at the 40. Allen is going to go all the way. Eric Allen steps into the end zone, and the Eagles are ahead from 94 yards away. They're taking it to the house. That was an unbelievable play. Unbelievable run. Look who's in the dugout, in the tunnel. Randall Cunningham.
So Randall had broken his leg earlier that game, and Eric Allen handed him the ball. And it was a bittersweet day because Randall and Fred Barnett were both going to be out for the year with injuries in that game. Put the Eagles up to 4-0. That moment clinched the game, but you knew they were headed to trouble without Randall and Fred Barnett. But, Jody, there's 7 of 10 plays in Eagles history that I've seen. We're in the moment, Randall against Bruce Smith, Saquon last year. In the moment, you just know it's bonkers. That Eric Allen play was one of those 7 of 10 where you just knew in the moment it was freaking, Jody, it was bonkers.
To this day, I continue to say it then, and have said it every day since, the longest touchdown return as an interception ever. Now, people have gone over 100 yards.
Ed Reed has the record, but I know what you're
saying.
But
he only went 93.
Yeah, this is a great answer.
But he went left and right and back and forth and stop and go.
Right.
The best interception, lengthiest interception, most yards covered interception in the history of the National Football League. And, you know, I've done WFAN work over the years, back and forth, Philly and New York.
Yeah.
Every once in a while when I run into Boomer Esiason and I say, oh, Eric Allen says hi. Yeah. And
that's
he
great.
Looks, if looks could kill, oh, my God.
That's great. Because it did clinch the game. Like, it was a major moment. It was late fourth quarter. And you knew at that point, because I think the Eagles had a slight lead, and then with that it became a two-touchdown lead, and that was it. All right, James, trivia question. Because the Hammers just get warmed up for 7:45.
He's just getting warmed
up. Correct. Let's all three of you, let's see who gets it. When Ed Reed set the record for the longest interception return of all time, it was against which quarterback?
I don't remember. I'll say Peyton Manning.
Why would I ask the question, James, if it's Peyton Manning?
Because I thought it might be like a big-time Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's one or the other. It's a bad guy or a good guy.
It's an Eagle!
Ah, that's probably why. There you go.
Mac, so, Donovan
McNabb.
Yeah.
Donovan got replaced in the game by?
Kevin Cobb.
Kevin Cobb.
Wow. Was it?
Kevin
Cobb. I was going to go Detmer.
Kevin Cobb.
You get
two for one with Detmer. If when in doubt, say Detmer, you got a better chance.
See,
for
that's
seven
beat
twice.
The hammer thinking right there by Jody.
All right. By the way, I think I'm about 98% right. Someone confirm it for me.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.